time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. I have divided the discussion of flowers this morning into color blocks. So we're going to start with yellow, mostly because those are the easy ones to see. There is a plant called mullein. Some people call it mullein. It is a tall biennial, which means that the ones that you see this year that are these long green spikes, and I mean spikes, these are very tight, maybe an inch and a half wide, and sometimes 5 or 6 feet tall. These spikes are starting to show these little yellow flowers, and they stand out, especially in the ditches, because all of the leaves are down low on these and the spikes are up high. Last year, those same plants were simply a rosette of very soft leaves laying on the ground, right at ground level, basal leaves. And that is the characteristic of mullein. It is a lovely plant and has a remarkable ability to throw out a lot of seeds, and the seeds can remain viable in the soil for up to 100 years. So if there are mullein seeds in your soil, but the conditions are not just right, it doesn't take very long when the conditions do become right for mullein to show up. Another tall yellow flower is the evening primrose, and this one is a little bit like mullein, except that there are leaves all the way up the stalk, and the flowers are sort of sticking out from the stalk a little bit. Also yellow, also a biennial, so last year it was a rosette on the ground. The interesting thing for me about evening primrose is that in the springtime, when it emerges, or when the snow melts and you see the rosette, it is bright red and it will become green as it begins to photosynthesize. But this time of year, evening primrose is big, tall, green plant, multiple yellow flowers at the top, leaves all of the way up, can be 4 or 5 feet tall. So check it out, evening primrose. The sunflowers have begun to bloom, and sunflowers are remarkably difficult. You would think that they would be easy to identify. They are to the level of sunflower. They are easy because they are big yellow flowers with these rays of yellow out on the outside and a central disc where the actual flower is on the inside. And the ones by my house, I believe, are sawtooth sunflowers. But you can go out and get a book, or you can go to MinnesotaWildflowers.com and you can look and study the sunflowers in your neighborhood and see which ones you might find at your house. Also blooming right now, black-eyed Susans, brown-eyed Susans, those flowers are probably approaching their first peak of bloom. At my house, they just line the edges of the roads where the tall grass is. The short yellow flowers that are along the edges of the roads right now, and just about everywhere I go in this part of the state, I'm seeing these long swaths of a plant called birdsfoot trefoil. Bright yellow, maybe a foot high, sort of a, it belongs to the pea family. It's a legume. It's a nitrogen fixer. It's good for the soils. It's a good crop for farmers. The cows like to eat it. So, there's a lot of it, and it is pretty easy to identify the flower. If you look at the flower, it's typical pea flower. That is, there's kind of a lip on the top that sort of stands out, and then this throaty kind of opening at the bottom where the bumblebees like to go in and dig out the pollen and the nectar. So that's the bird's foot trefoil. The other yellow flower that is about to bloom or just beginning to bloom in your neighborhood is a plant called tansy. And tansy clusters of yellow flowers, each one about the size of an aspirin tablet, and there'll be two dozen or so in a cluster on these plants. If you think that you're looking at tansy, break off a little bit of the leaf, crush it, and smell it. It has a very strong smell, and you won't be... some people like it. Some people find it offensive. I'm sort of on the fence. I don't really... It's not the worst thing I've ever smelled, nor is it the best. That's tansy, and that's blooming right now. And those are the yellow flowers. There's other yellow flowers as well, but those are the primary ones that are showing up right now. In the blue flowers, especially if you're in water areas, monkey flower is blooming right now. It's a dark blue, purplish flower, sort of... Again, a bit like the bird's foot trefoil. It's kind of not a regular flower in that it doesn't, you can't look at it and say, oh, it's got five petals. It may have five petals, but you'd have to kind of separate them and pull them apart to see that. Another one in that group is marsh skullcap. Both of these are usually found near water. The last of the iris, the blue flag, are blooming. Giant hyssop is blooming. And all of those are blue flowers. In the pink category, I found a plant called woundwort, which was new to me because I've always called it hedge nettle. And in this case, it is marsh hedge nettle. Marsh hedge nettle and hedge nettle look almost identical in terms of the flower. The leaf, well, not the leaf, but the stem is what gives it away. The stem on the marsh hedge nettle is hairy all the way around, and the stem on the hedge nettle is hairy on the corners. It's a square stem, and the corners of that have hairs on them, but in between it is smooth. Pretty subtle difference. Hedge nettle will get you there. Pink flower. The other pink flower that's coming along right now, and it gets a lot, it gets overlooked, and it's an easy one to just pass by. If you're looking at the bird's foot trefoil, that band of yellow along the edge of the road, check a little bit closer to the road, and you'll see this band of sort of gray tending to pink, fuzzy kind of a flower. What can I compare it to? It's like a pussy willow. It's got this little fuzzy cap at the top of a stem, and it is tending to pink right now, and that is rabbit's foot clover, and it is coming really strong right now, so check those out. I haven't talked about the white flowers. I'm about to mention the white flowers. We have meadow sweet, which is a really conical-shaped flower head, very small white flowers. Lovely, lovely. And the flowers themselves are beautiful. That's meadow sweet. Black bindweed. This one has a red stem and tiny clusters of tiny, like pinhead-sized white flowers. The other bindweed that is blooming right now, often misidentified as a morning glory, is hedge bindweed, and it is at the peak of bloom. Yesterday, everywhere I looked, I saw these large white trumpet-shaped flowers that were just everywhere, and that is hedge bindweed. The difference between hedge bindweed and morning glory is in the leaf. The hedge bindweed has a kind of an arrowhead-shaped leaf, while the morning glory has a heart-shaped leaf. So not many morning glories up this far north that I see. Maybe they're more prominent around your house. Most of what I see, in fact, all of what I see is hedge bindweed. Cow parsnip is in bloom. This is that tall plant a big 6-8-inch disc of white flowers at the top of this plant. And another plant that just began to bloom this last week, a few days later than average, but one that you should make an effort to learn, is water hemlock. And it also has a disc of tiny white flowers, but this disc is smaller, probably 2 to 3 inches. The cow parsnip has this big leaf. It's as big as your hand. It looks like a maple leaf. It's lobed. It's quite dramatic. The water hemlock leaf is quite small. Looks a little bit like a marijuana leaf. If you look carefully at the leaf of the water hemlock, you will see that the leaves, the main vein up the middle of the leaf, the side veins that run off of that run to the base of the notch. So the edge of the leaf is notched like a little saw teeth, and the bindweed or the water hemlock vein runs to the base of the notch, which is a little bit opposite from most plants. Most plants, the vein runs right out to that tip of that tooth, but the water hemlock does not. Now, water hemlock is a very, very dangerous plant. And if you have it growing near you, you may want to take some effort to get rid of it. But you want to be very, very careful when you do, because it is extremely poisonous. And this is a piece that I wrote a year or two ago. Cicutoxin is the poison that is found in water hemlock. It works on your autonomous nervous system. And the autonomous nervous system controls the functions you don't think about, like heart rate, blood pressure, digestion, sweating, that sort of thing. Cicutoxin interferes with the neurotransmitters, interrupting the signals that would normally go out without any conscious thought. And with these systems disrupted, the body can't regulate these functions. In the literature, there's a story about two brothers from Maine who were out foraging for wild ginseng when they happened upon some water hemlock. The younger brother took 3 bites out of the root, while his brother took a single bite. Within 30 minutes, the younger brother began to vomit and then suffered convulsions. They managed to get him out of the woods and call for help. When the emergency personnel arrived, the younger man was salivating and having episodic convulsions followed by periods of stupor. His eyes were dilated and he was experiencing irregular heartbeats. They transported him to the hospital. His stomach was pumped. He was given activated charcoal. His seizures continued and his heart went into fibrillation. 3 hours after eating the root, he was dead. His brother began to experience seizures and delirium 2 hours after eating the root. His dose was less than his brother's, and he survived. A piece of the root, 1 inch long, is enough to kill an adult. The stems are hollow, and in one tragic case, a child was given a whistle made from the stem. There was enough poison in the stem to kill the child. So this is not a plant to be fooled with. And if you come across it, now remember, you're going to be looking at a plant that's 3 to 5 feet tall. It's got a disc of white flowers about 3 inches across. The leaves are going to be a bit like a marijuana leaf, narrow, toothed. And if you look at the leaf structure itself, look at the veins. There'll be a central vein down the middle of the leaf. All of the side veins go to the bottoms of the notches on the leaves, which is identifiable. That is unusual. And in the case of water hemlock, it's something you're going to want to make sure that you note. If you're getting rid of this stuff, I would wear gloves. You can pull it up. You can treat it with Roundup, however you want to do it. But if you are trying to get rid of it, be really careful and burn it when you get it out. So watch out for the white water hemlock. It is blooming now. And it is becoming more and more prominent. I remember the first time I saw it was back in the early 2000s. And nowadays, it seems to be gathering speed and is quite common amongst the woodlands. A couple of other quick notes. Hazelnuts look like they're going to be a good crop of hazelnuts. Tamaracks, the cones are opening up, and I could see the tops of the seeds within the tamaracks. Raspberries, red and dwarf raspberries, are ripe right now. Juneberries are getting ripe. And the chipmunks have begun their monk call. And if you hear a chuck in the woods that may sound like a bird, it's probably the chipmunk monking. So that's the Phenology Show for this week. If you have any questions about water hemlock, contact me at jlatimer@kaxe.org. That's it. I'll be happy to respond and try to guide you through some means of control.